studying in our articles of faith is the fall of man, and this is the article. We believe that man was created in innocence under the law of his Maker, but by voluntary transgression fell from his sinless and happy state, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners, not by constraint, but by choice, and therefore under the just condemnation without defense or excuse. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 and verse number 17, the scripture said, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife." See, gentlemen, it's always dangerous to pay any attention to your wife. No, I'm teasing about that. He had listened to his wife. There is a proper time to listen to your wife, isn't it? What's the proper time to listen to your wife? When she says what God says. Don't take it beyond that. There is a proper time to listen to your husband. And it may go a little bit further than that, ladies, but wherever it does, I say, you will not be held responsible. But be careful that you listen to God. We don't have time to get into that tonight. But anyhow, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles also shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. I want you to notice now that Adam has been given dominion over the earth, over all of these things. When Adam falls, these things fall. Thorns and thistles are now born, whereas they did not seem to be so in the past. But things have now changed. All right? Go on, if you would, and continue to read in verse number 19. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You see, this is physical death. Now, someone has said that Adam's death was prolonged, and that the first... I got some mail recently because someone had ordered the series of tapes called The Death of Death. The Death of Christ and the Death of Death, and I had a series of messages on that. He said, "We're not sure you're teaching the truth about death." And, of course, I understood what he was talking about immediately. I listened a little bit to the guy's tape and threw the whole thing in the trash because it was trash. But the fact of the matter is, this person thinks that the first death is when you're put in a casket. That's not so. That's not the first death. Adam's death was both physical and spiritual. And when the physical death comes, it does no more than complete that which was begun. But Adam died the very day that he ate of these things, and you were born dead. All of you were born that way. But anyhow, this is dealing with the physical aspect of it. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. This is, of course, by faith. Time won't permit us to get into that. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord said, "Behold, the man is become of one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat of it and live forever." Somebody said, "Death is not the will of God." Oh, yes, it is. Sickness is not the will of God. Who started propelling that garbage? It is. "Lest he put forth his hand and eat of the tree of life and live forever. Therefore, God sent him forth out from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, or to keep man from approaching to the tree of life." You think that God has a loudspeaker at the Garden of Eden saying to all mankind, "Come on back"? Well, you are fundamentally wrong in everything that has to do with the salvation of man. The whole thing has to start right here. What is man's condition before God in his fallen state? That's what this is about. There is no more important issue addressed anywhere in your Bible. Now listen, before we get into the introduction, to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now I want you to listen to those words. Death passed, past tense. When did death pass upon all men? He didn't say death shall pass upon all men when they sin. He said, and so death passed. It is a past tense thing. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The people who have not even been born yet have already sinned. The people who have not even been born yet already have the death sentence pronounced upon them. That's what this verse is saying. Now, there is not a more important issue anywhere than the fall of man. Because his fall determines his state. How far did he fall? Someone says, well, he lost a lot, but he didn't lose his freedom of will. Oh, he didn't. Let me ask you today, how many of you can control your desires? How many of you here today can simply say, if I know something is wrong, then all I have to do is just to decide that I do not want to be influenced by it, whether it is eating too much or saying something, I just decide, and therefore my will is in perfect discipline. You know better than that garbage. But that slop is peddled in a lot of churches across the country today. What did he lose in his fall? That's what we're dealing with. And it covers more than his position. It deals with his very nature. Deals with his nature. You see, you have a free will, but strictly within the limitations of your nature. Your will is determined by your nature. You follow what I'm talking about? A dog is free to fly. As far as I know, there's no law that says dogs can't fly. I've never seen God tying weights around their neck to keep them from flying. I've never seen that. But I've never seen a dog complaining because he couldn't fly. His will is according to his nature. Our will is according to our nature. All soteriological controversy starts here. For instance, there are people who are grieved to no end because of the doctrine of election. They say, you mean God reached into a condemned mankind and chose certain individuals unto salvation, but didn't choose everybody? Oh, I wouldn't want anything to do with a God like that, they say. If they understood what the fall was, they would understand that were it not for that, no one would be saved, and they would understand that God is perfectly graceful. There is no justice in election. No justice whatsoever. If you're looking for justice, go somewhere else. I could be ornery and say, if you're looking for justice, go to hell. But what I'll say to be accurate is, if you're looking for justice, you'll have to go to hell, because that's where justice will send us. But when we talk about justification and election and atonement and all of those things, we're talking about grace. It has nothing to do with justice. It's grace. And that's God reaching down to men who don't deserve anything and giving them something they don't deserve. But you see, you have to be able to understand the fall. Robert Schuller recently made a statement, and he said the most terrible and damaging preaching that there is to teach man that he is a sinner and that he is of no value in his natural state. He believes that. I've got news for you. There are thousands of other preachers across the country that believe it. Listen. the whole basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ hinges upon the reality of fact that man is dead in trespasses and sins. How that he died for our sins. If man is not a sinner, why did Christ die? You have no gospel without it. No reason for the churches to exist. It all depends upon this. Four things, and I have to hurry. First of all, this teaches us that man was created positively holy. Now, there's a lot of teaching today that says, well, man was created with a free will, and that's true, and man was created with the ability of choice, with the privilege of choice, and that's true, and man was created innocent, and that's true. And therefore, they say, because man was created with a choice and he chose sin, that's why he fell. And all of a sudden, all reasoning has gone out the window. Listen, how does the fact that he was created innocent and given a choice account for the fact that he sinned? How does it do that? Why could he not have as easily have not sinned? Was his choice one way or the other, or was it totally neutral, and they're implying neutrality? Then why did he go the sin route instead of going the other route? Did God have anything to do with it? Was this just an accident? Was this the flip of a coin? Might it have as easily gone one way as the other? And you see, all soteriological consideration of the Bible has just gone out the window. And God has been totally ignored in the whole thing. I want you to look in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now look at verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very neutral. Not what it says, is it? Behold, it was very innocent. That's not what it says. Behold, it was very good. It was in the image of God. Man was in the image of God. Does that mean that God has two legs and two arms and two eyes? No, God is a spirit. No man hath seen God at any time. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh, but he said, a body hast thou prepared me. Why would God prepare Jesus Christ a body? Because he didn't have one. He's not in a body. And so when the Bible says he was created in the image of God, it's not talking about this physical blob that you see here. It's talking about his personality. He was given a will. He was given initiative. He was given decisive factors. He was given reasoning. Most people say something like this. I want my children's life to be better than mine was. Have you ever known a dog to say that? Have you ever known a dog that you thought, I hope tomorrow is better than today? I've seen some that I thought had good reason to think that, but I've never seen one that I thought was thinking like that. Animals don't realize that. Only something made in the image of God reasons like that. That's what I'm trying to say. He's made in the image of God. Now, the origin of sin, as it relates to divine decree, I mean, how, if God is in control, how can sin get into his world? Did he have a preference? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Did God intend not to let it happen, and it happened anyhow? Doesn't sound much like God, does it? Did God purpose to allow it to happen, or to cause it to happen, and it happened according to His will? Somebody says, well, I think everybody would say, well, that God at least had to intend or decree to allow it to take place. But how did this happen? It's a profound mystery. Let me ask you this. Did man fall because he sinned? Or did he sin because he had fallen? Now, if you say he fell because he sinned, then you're saying he sinned in an unfallen state. And so you have an unfallen man sinning. That's not really easy to explain, is it? But on the other hand, if you say he fell because he sinned, he sinned because he fell, then you have a man falling before he sins. And that's not easy to explain, is it? In fact, both of them are inexplicable. You've entered into an area that's absolutely mysterious as far as our ability to fully understand it. Well, of course, the reason that we have a hard time with that is we don't realize what sin is. You say, well, that first sin was eating of the forbidden fruit. Was it? Was it? Or was that only the overt manifestation of sin? Let me ask you this. Did Adam decide to eat of the fruit before he ate it? And you say, yes. If he decided to eat of the fruit before he ate it, was his heart right with God when he decided to eat of the fruit? You see, the fact of the matter is that you can take these things and you can probe them and you can't separate them. They're inseparable. The desire to sin, the willingness to sin, all goes together, and so you really cannot separate the fall and the sin in the sense of putting them in some kind of a chronological order. But the point is this, man was not merely created innocent. The plants were created innocent. The dogs and cats were created innocent. The cows and horses were created innocent. So was man. Nobody had sinned. Nobody had an opportunity to sin. Follow what I'm talking about? You take a person, if you could just bring a person out of nothing instantly and put him out here in the middle of this congregation, he didn't come from Adam, he didn't come from anybody, you just brought him out of nothing and created him out of nothing, or comes from the hand of God, obviously he's innocent because he hasn't had the opportunity to sin yet. But Adam was more than innocent, he was holy, he has created with a tendency to do that which pleased God. What happened to it? We need to realize that any state which a creature is in is yet a state of dependency upon God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If God could simply work in me to the extent of not only taking away all of my guilt of sin, but taking away the nature to sin, so that I no longer had any kind of a nature to sin, and then God left me there and let me go, could I remain sinless? He gave me a will. I can decide. I can do what I want to do. Could I remain sinless? The answer is absolutely not. Not a chance. I am dependent upon God. For everything, I am dependent upon God. So man was created positively innocent, but he was not independently innocent. He was positively holy, but he was not independently holy. That holiness could not be maintained except by the grace of God. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that he did by transgression fall. The mystery of order that I posed for you above and didn't answer is actually answered by Scripture. The Bible says he by transgression fell. Again, that does not say that we put that in a chronological order, because it all took place in one activity. In other words, his sin and his fall was all part of the very same thing. The action, the decision, the temptation, all of it was part of the very same thing. And so we can't separate it. If we do, then we frustrate it. But Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 say this. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all of the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, God tells Adam in these verses very clearly why the judgment of death is passed upon him, because thou didst eat of this thing. You did it. He said, Adam, you committed this sin, and because of this, you are going to suffer this judgment. A holy state does not guarantee security. We believe in security of the believer. But we not believe in security of the believer in that the simple washing of our sins makes totally within itself a state of security, but we are secure because Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who washed away our sins, is seated at the right hand of God and ever liveth to make intercession for us. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. No priest can keep those sins away from us. No priest can get those sins forgiven. Forrest Keener cannot do it for you. Forrest Keener can't do it for himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who guarantees our salvation and makes it a secure thing. The holy state must be both imparted by grace and kept by grace. The holy state of the believer. In other words, Adam had to him imparted the image of God. And he still has, in a sense, the image of God, all the human race does. But he had dominion, he had innocence, he had all of these things. These things were lost. I'm talking about his innocence, his holiness, they were lost. Because he did not possess them independently. We all fell by sin in Adam. I mentioned that a moment ago. This is the doctrine of federal headship. Some of you folks may not know what I mean by federal headship. The term federal simply means father. You follow what I'm saying to you? Let's say that Brother Steve Fair, let's say that his father is a rich man. Let's say that he owns thousands of oil wells and thousands of manufacturing companies and all that stuff, and he's a rich man. Steve is the only heir. His father dies. Steve inherits all of that stuff. But I'll tell you something else he inherits. He inherits everything he owes against it. He inherits the debt. You follow what I'm talking about? He might say to the creditors, but wait a minute. I didn't make these debts. I don't have to pay them. You know what they would say? They would say, hey, you inherited the estate. As the heir of the estate, what he did, you did. And you are responsible. That's legal in man's law. It's proper. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. I'm glad that they do not allow these estates to go the other way. In other words, you can't go in the hole on those estates. Well, of course, Uncle Sam might tax you so you'd go in the hole on them. Yeah, but otherwise, you really can't. But the fact of the matter is that that's the way it works. Now, in the book of Romans, listen again to chapter 5, verses 12 and 19. Time does not permit to read everything between, but listen. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen to Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That is the doctrine of federal headship. By one man's disobedience, Adam disobeyed God. Adam was made a sinner. But the Bible teaches that because Adam disobeyed God, all of his offspring were made sinners. And because Jesus Christ obeyed God, all of his offspring are made righteous. Your hope, your only hope, is to be in Christ. It's the only hope you have. Doesn't mean all of Adam's offspring were made righteous by Christ's disobedience. All of Christ. That's why you must be born again. Follow what I'm talking about? Only his offspring. Now, let's go ahead. This is such a vast subject, we could just go on and on and on. Time would not permit. But I want to point out that we not only fell in Adam, we all died in Adam. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We all died in Adam. Once again, all those who were in Adam died. All those who are in Christ are made alive. Not all who are in Adam are made alive, but all who are in Christ are made alive. All who are in Adam are made dead. Well, who all is in Adam? Every person born upon this earth except Jesus Christ. He was the last Adam. Who are those who are in Christ? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What is a new creature? He is one who has been born anew. He has been born again. You see? So you need to understand that this is the only hope that man has. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "And you hath he quickened." That means made alive. He has made you alive. "Who were dead in trespasses and sin." You were dead in trespasses and sin. That's what happened to you in Adam. The fall killed you. You were dead. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation or our behavior in time past, in the lust of our flesh." What were you doing? Walking after the course of this world, after the pattern of the devil. Who made you do that? Did the devil do it? No, he did not. What did it? He said it was according to the lust of our flesh. It was the very nature that was within us. And so in that fall we died and we inherited that state of death, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Every child of God must confess that by nature he is not one bit different than Judas Iscariot or the devil himself. What makes the difference in Christ? Thirdly, all men are thus sinners. Romans chapter number 3, verses 10 through 19. Short verses, so I'll read them all. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." You say, well, I believe that any man who seeks God can find him. Who doesn't believe that? But that's not the issue. Because the Bible has already revealed there is none that seeketh after God. So we don't have to hypothesize what about a man who does seek after God. Because he's already said there's none that seeketh after God unless they're regenerated. God has to quicken them. Or they're never going to. The natural man doesn't seek after God. There is none that seeketh after God. He goes on to say, "They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is as an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." All the world. All men. Not all who have sinned overtly. Not all who have committed an act. That little girl out there doesn't even know what I'm talking about, but she sinned. You say, well, she cried when she wasn't hurting, made her mama think she was hurting. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about before she ever knew that mama would come when she cried. That little girl sinned in Adam. I used to jokingly say, when my grandson was born, he just about destroyed my faith in the doctrine of total depravity. But after he got to be a little bit older, he restored it fourfold. You know what I mean? He proved that he was absolutely right. But they're all sinners. I know, we look at those little ones and listen, those little ones go to heaven. If they die in infancy, they go to heaven. Why? Because they're washed in the blood of Christ. And God arranged all of that. I'm not going to take time to explain that. That's the only way they could get there. But I'm saying to you tonight that we are all by nature sinners. Death on those who sin. I mentioned this morning, not after the similitude of Adam. They didn't understand some law and break it. They died without having to do that. Man is not made to be a sinner or constrained to be a sinner by God. God doesn't cause him to do that. Now, if we say man sinned in the Garden of Eden because grace was withheld, are we offended by that? I have known of men who were. They say, wait a minute, you are blaming man's sin upon God. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, if we say that man sinned because grace was withheld, we must remember that it was only grace that was withheld. It was not justice. It was not something man asked for. It was not something man was pleading for. It was not something man was deserving. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Could God have done something that would have allowed Adam to have exercised his choice as freely as he exercised it and to have rejected the forbidden fruit? Sure he could have. No problem at all. In the first place, if God wanted to, he could have put Satan in hell before man sinned instead of thousands of years after. He didn't have to let Satan go in the Garden of Eden. But let me ask you something. If God had have chosen to have come into the Garden of Eden, and when Satan came to tempt Adam, or to tempt Eve, to tempt Adam, if God had have withstood him there, if the Lord Jesus Christ had have been there and interceded for them at that point, as he intercedes for you and I, when we are tempted. Listen! Listen! God said concerning the Christian, he will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But he allowed Adam to be tempted. He allowed him to. Now, if someone complains about that, you need to remember this. That if grace can be demanded, it is not grace. If grace is deserved, it is not grace. So whatever it was that God did not do in the Garden of Eden that might have hypothetically or theoretically kept Adam from sinning, you must remember that God was not under any obligation to do it. It was for reasons much higher than we're able to explain that he allowed these things to happen. I'm just simply saying that God was under no such obligation. Man is first a sinner by inheritance. Remember again Romans 3:19. Listen to these words. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. He inherited this state. He is a sinner by nature. Not just sin on him, but sin in him. Again, we'll use this beautiful little girl, and I'll use her as an illustration because I think she's about as precious a little thing as I ever saw. But Jim and Debbie will not have to teach that little girl to lie. They won't have to teach her to lie. Someday, and I know this is going to be a sad thing because we don't like for children to lie to us, but she'll lie to you someday. I've heard parents that say, my children won't lie to me. Get your head out of the water. You don't know daylight from dark if you think your kids won't lie to you. They'll lie to you. The only time they won't lie to you is when they think they might, or there are times when they won't, but I'm saying they'll lie to you. You think your children haven't lied to you, you just haven't woke up yet. You better sober up. They'll lie to you. Now let me ask you something. Will that little girl lie because she's a liar? Or will she become a liar when she lies? She's a liar by nature. She inherited it from Adam. David said they go forth speaking lies as soon as they be born. It's our nature. It is within us. So we inherited it. We are that by nature. It's not just upon us, the sin of Adam, but it is also in us. What he does is what he is. A man does not become what he is by doing what he does. He does what he does because he is what he is. A dog does not become a dog by barking, chasing cars, or eating Happy Meal. Yeah, I'm Bolo. I just thought of Happy Meal. I give that to the dogs too, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm teasing about that. But my grandchildren wouldn't like that at all. They say, "Papa, you're making bad jokes about Happy Meals. We think they're great." But anyhow, you know what I'm saying to you. A dog doesn't become a dog by doing those things. A dog does what he does because he's a dog. It's his nature. He returns to his vomit. You say, "Oh, my dog wouldn't do that." All dogs will do that. They're dogs. You can kiss them if you want to and act like they're people, but they're not people and they never will be. They're dogs. And I love dogs. I love dogs, but they're dogs. They have a nature. It's different from yours. We do what we do because we are what we are. This is the state in which he is alienated from God. I have to close with this last point. It is this fallen state that necessitates the new birth. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, he said, "We know you're a teacher come from God. You couldn't do these things otherwise." He said, "Here I am. I'm ready to be taught all about the kingdom of God. Just lay it on me." He said, "Nicodemus, let me just tell you a little secret. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand, he cannot conceive of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He has to be made a new creature." This fallen state necessitates our being born again. Man in his condition cannot and will not come to Christ. In the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 44, we quoted this morning, the scripture tells us, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." In verse 65, "And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father." We see here that that is a gift. Him coming to Christ is a gift given by God. In chapter 8 and verse 43, he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Cannot hear? They were not deaf, but their nature forbade them to understand. John chapter 5 and verses 39 and 40. "Search the scripture, for in them they think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come unto me that you may have life." We see that every facility of man is permeated with this fallen state. He cannot of himself repent and believe. You say, "Well, I believe that every man has the ability to repent and believe if he wants to." Listen, repentance and faith is what determines what your want-tos are. You don't want to do that and do it. You do that because God works, and then your want-tos are changed. Listen to Jeremiah chapter number 13 and verse 23. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Just help yourself, he said. No, he said, you can't do it. It's your nature. Can the leopard say, "I don't want to be spotted, I want to be striped. I don't want to be spotted. I want to be polka-dot off. I don't want to be yellow and black. I want to look like a Dalmatian. I want to be white and black." I'm not being silly, but I'm saying that his color and his spots and the pattern of those things are there, and they repeat that, and they repeat that, and they repeat that, because that's what he is. It is his nature. And Jeremiah said that the sinner can no more lay aside his sin and do good, do right, please God, come to Christ. He can no more do that than the leopard can change his spots. Or the Ethiopian or the black man can simply say, I don't want to be a Cushite anymore. I don't want to be black anymore. I want to be a different color. He said, it just doesn't work that way. You can't do it. The same thing is true of you and I. We cannot of our own self become righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. He cannot perceive. He cannot understand. He cannot conceive of them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is changed only in the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. See, man is an outcast. God put cherubim at the gate of the Garden of Eden, a sword that pointed every way and said, keep this rebel out. He cannot have life. He must not live forever. Prevent it. That was God's judgment upon him. He is deaf to the truth. Hear me? He hears, but he cannot hear the truth. He can hear all kinds of mathematical facts, all kinds of philosophical realities, all kinds of geographic data can be placed into his brain. But the gospel truth he cannot hear. He's dead to it. He cannot hear it. He is blind to the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, he can see all kinds of things. He can look at the beauty of the world. And he says, my, I wonder how long it took that to evolve. Because he is blind to the light of God. Blind to the light. He is dead. Dead in his trespasses and sin. He is dirty. By nature he is dirty, and he must be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be resurrected by the Word of God and the Spirit and washed from his filthiness in the blood. When we consider our salvation, we need to consider this. Jesus paid it all. God did it for us. We were born in a fallen state. We had no hope. We could do nothing to lift ourselves up. We could in no wise free ourselves from bondage. There was nothing in us that would commend us to God. There was no legal activity that we could perform that would commend us to God. There was nothing in us that would draw us to God, because we were fallen. We were depraved. The only hope for that poor creature is that God, in his sovereign mercy, he who will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, would reach down and say, I will have mercy on Forrest Keener. And he touched his heart. And he made him a new creature. And he brought him to repentance. And he brought him to faith. And he guided him in the way that he should go. And that's the only hope that any poor sinner has.